today on Real Radio.
Acts chapter 13 is the reason why you're born again right now. And I love that kind of stuff. We need to realize that if God started with a couple of five guys like this in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago, what does he want to do now?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through the missionary work of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And like Paul, Barnabas was a Jew who became a Christian. In Acts chapter 12, we learned that the church in Jerusalem had hesitated too long in reaching out to the world. So God stirs up the church when the Jewish leaders oppose the gospel message. And with the threat of death or imprisonment for preaching salvation through Christ, the church is now forced to scatter to the other surrounding nations, and the Gentile city of Antioch becomes the new starting point of world evangelism. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that missionary work is not necessarily a heavy burden that we need to bear or an obligation, but it's a result of God's work in our lives. And when our desire to reach the lost takes the gospel to the world, we can be assured that God will bless us. And now in his lesson called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So in your Bible, open to Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, and we'll read on down to verse 12. It says, "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Menon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them to do.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them and sent them away, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an excellent man. And this man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'O fool of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time.' And immediately a dark mist fell upon him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord." We're talking about missions here. You see, prior to this moment here, Herod, we've been studying him, different Herod. The Herod that had come against Peter and James, cutting James's head off, taking Peter, putting him in prison, planning to kill him. The Herod that we've been studying who robbed glory from God was Herod Agrippa the First. He's now dead. At the removal of that opposition through Herod, God began to work. We now pick up in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, where God begins to use the church to meet the spiritual needs of the world. The church will be sent out from Antioch as an evangelistic ministry that will eventually touch the world. I don't know how this affects you. I guess when it comes biblically, I'm very sentimental. I don't know if you'd have to ask my wife, I guess, if I'm sentimental or not. I don't really know. But when it comes to the scripture, it kind of freaks me out that right now on your lap is open to a page of the Bible, Acts chapter 13, that the record that you have in your lap before you is the very reason why you're sitting here right now born again. Because from Antioch, the church was born on the evangelistic scale. Yes, it had started in Jerusalem, but it didn't get very far. Some 15 years now had gone by, and they only made it as far as Palestine. Now, in the area of Antioch, God is going to use a couple of guys to take the gospel to the world all the way to where you're sitting right now. Acts chapter 13 is the reason why you're born again right now. And I love that kind of stuff. That's exciting to me because you know what it says? You know, we come in here, you know, on a cold day like it is, and you know, we might be even kind of sleepy or whatever. We need to realize that if God started with a couple of five guys like this in the book of Acts 2,000 years ago, what does he want to do now? Are you willing to respond to what God might want to do? Some of you will say, yes, I am willing. Then you ought to get ready for the most exciting thing in your life to ever happen. A brother told me yesterday, he says, man, you know, I know you really got it rough. I go, I really don't have it rough. I don't have it rough. When I used to commute down the 55 freeway, that's rough. I don't have it rough. You mean the demands or the pull? Yeah, you know what? There's a time when it's like, oh, okay, well, who cares about sleep? But the reward is so awesome. I've been made to do what I'm doing. God's called me. I know that. But for years, I found in my life, what am I to do? I felt within my heart God wanted to do something with my life. And just when I thought I was doing that very thing, God pulled me out of it and caused this thing to happen. He wants to use us. You cannot. Listen, Christian. And if you're not a Christian this morning, we're glad that you're here. Just listen up because it has to do with all of the other people sitting around you this morning. You're off the hook today. Christian, the greatest thing that we can be doing now that we know we are to glorify God is to fulfill the call that he's placed upon our lives. You might be saying, I don't know what I'm called to do. Well, hang on to your seats and you'll get a little bit of instruction on how to find out. We're going to look at really four things in relation to God's blessing when the gospel goes around the world. Then we're going to look at four other things that deal with opposition when God wants the gospel to go around the world. And the reason why we're going to shove this all into one study is because you can't have a blessing from God without getting opposition from the enemy. Those of you who want to serve God, you better be ready. The enemy is going to come against you. And here's the trick. Not only is that true, but your Father in heaven is going to allow it to be so, which already gives you the victory once he knows. If you want to be used, then you need to get ready for attack. If you want blessings, you're going to get buffeted. Now, who doesn't want a blessing? Man, I get up in the morning, I pray, oh, God, bless me. God, I want you to bless me. God, I need your mercy. God, I need your grace. God, I need your goodness. God, I need your favor. God, I need your love. Why do I pray that? Because I'm going to run up against things that are not lovely, things that are not gracious, things that are not merciful, and I'm going to need him. And so do you. Your mission field is already happening. You are there. Tomorrow morning, you'll get up and you'll go to it. After we say amen today and you'll get to your family or to your car or to your home, that's your mission field as well. And the Lord's plan for your life is to be successful at winning others to Christ. Jesus says in Mark 16, 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we need to do. And it is not a burden. It is a joy. It's not a drag. It's not an obligation. It is a wonderful call that God has placed upon our lives to do. You may be a sender or you may be a goer, but God has caused you to be involved. Real quick, Jesus said in John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If that's true, if God the Father sent his son into the world, if God hates sin, you know, he doesn't love the sin of the world. It says that he loves the world. That's Mr. and Mrs. You. God loves you. He hates your sin. That's why God can look at a murder and say, I love you. I hate what you did. Absolutely won't tolerate it, but I love you. You know, you and I get that skewed. We connect what the person is doing with who they are. God is able to decipher what they have done and who they are. They're lost and they need the love of God. They need the love of Jesus. You and I will be successful ministers for Christ when we realize that the sin that is in our lives and the lives of those people outside this door. plagues them and hounds them, just like it did with us when we were bound up. And they need to be liberated. And God is going to liberate them through you. And that's the will of the Lord, and that is good news. But the fact of the matter is, if God hates sin, we should hate sin. If God sent his son into the world, then you and I should send his son into the world. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible makes it very clear, this is not an option. It is a command for those of us who are disciples of Christ. First thing in your notes, jot down in your note-taking, A. In A, we're going to look at when the gospel goes to the world, you can expect blessings. You can expect it. Number one, where will the blessings come? I want to know. If God has promised to bless in the spreading of his word and bless the church that does that, where will the blessings come? Look at verses 1 through 3. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, or however you say his name. It's a weird name. Who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. You got five guys. Verse 1. Where's the blessings going to come? If you have a church that's going to reach out to the community, if it's across the street or around the world, listen to this. First of all, by who God brings into the church. Watch this. The word prophet in the Greek language is the word that means to foretell publicly, not to foretell, not to necessarily say that tomorrow's going to be Monday, but it means to hold forth the word of God. It's to stand there and proclaim the word, to be a prophet. In fact, by me quoting scripture right now, I am in a sense prophesying the word out to you. To prophet is to foretell the word. Verse 1 says that there were certain prophets in the church. By the way, an example today, I think the true example on the earth today on a large scale is none other than Billy Graham, God's prophet. It is to be able to speak publicly with extreme effectiveness is all built into that word. It's to be able to open the mouth and people listen and make decisions. That is the gift that Billy Graham has. He's a prophet of God. He's a heralder of the word. Look at the other word in verse 1. It says teachers. The word in the Greek means to be an instructor, or to one who points the way, or a master of the path, or a master of the direction. They've already studied. They know how to get others to not only be sitting there in the church, but to learn. The evangelist goes out, Greg Laurie, Harvest Crusades, or Billy Graham and his crusades, and gets people interested. They may or may not make a decision at that moment. But what happens is God used them to affect within the heart of the hearer. The hearer gets up and maybe comes to a church and sits down and says in their mind or in their heart, I'd like to know more about this Jesus. Either born again or not, they begin to experience out of the word of God, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, how it is to be a Christian. That's what the teacher's all about. So if you got Billy Graham as an evangelist, you might have Chuck Smith as a teacher and he's world famous for being the teacher. Billy Graham has even mentioned that Chuck Smith is his teacher. There's a beautiful handshake. One's an evangelist, one's a teacher. Where will the blessings come if we're going to be a worldwide church to reach the world with the gospel? It will come, first of all, within the church. God will provide people to meet the need. And this is something that you don't get in the English, but in the Greek, and I don't want to belabor this, but you see the first three names, Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius. What is understood in the Greek language is this. Those three guys are the prophets within the church. They are the certain prophets. You see the last two names, Manion and Saul. The Greek language implies, as you study it, that they are the teachers. And that's kind of fun because Barnabas was one who was known to speak publicly. Every time Saul spoke publicly, something happened, and it wasn't usually very good. But Paul was extremely effective in his teaching ministry. And so there's a pattern that we're seeing right here. There's prophets and there's teachers. I love that because there's a beautiful cross-cultural staff going on here. I want you to hang on to your seats. I personally am absolutely blessed with what's here behind the scenes. Barnabas is a Jew, Hebrew, a Levite, born again, found Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he's walking with the Lord. God's using him. Simon, it says there, called Niger. The word Niger in Latin means black. He's from North Africa. He's a black man who loves God and has been born again. You've got a Jew, you've got a black man. Lucius is from Cyrene, the scripture says, from North Africa. He's born again. He's a Christian too. You got three guys who are prophets who are Christians, and they're all different in their skin color. They're all different in their background. We're talking a real church here. Look at Menean. He's a Greek. He's a man of honor, a man of power. He's a stepbrother of Herod Antipas, by the way, who mocked Jesus at his trial. He's born again, turned Christian. He's a Greek. How these guys went to lunch and agreed on where they were going to go eat, I have no idea. Must have been the Lord. And then you've got Saul, who's Paul the Apostle. A Pharisee, a Jew, a Hebrew, a Christian killer, born again, serving the Lord now. What a crew. Where's your staff? There they are. Look like a rainbow. They're all different colors. Well, where did you go to school? Paul the Apostle stood up. I went to the University of Tarsus. I've got degrees a mile long. My personal tutor was Gamaliel, one of the greatest, or if not the greatest mind in all of the kingdom. I'm a smart guy. I've been born and raised in the culture of the Jews. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee, circumcised the eighth day. Concerning keeping the law, no one's come close to the way I've been able to keep the law. But besides all that, I count that as absolutely zip. I'm a born-again Christian now. Well, Simeon, where are you from? I'm from North Africa. I'm a black man. I heard the gospel. I've received Jesus Christ, quite possibly, through the ministry of Thomas, by the way. Thomas went to North Africa. All along the way, you got all these different guys, and God is building a church, and he's going to use them to reach you and I. Isn't it awesome? At some point in time, you and I came to faith in Jesus Christ, all because of these five crazy guys. They were all different, and they decided Jesus was the most important thing in their life. They're going to get along no matter what color or what culture they're from, and they're going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, that absolutely turns me on with love for you and for the Lord. What a neat group of guys. Colossians 3:11 says, having put on Jesus Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, I think that's where I fit in, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh man, that's great. I talked with a brother last service, precious Christian man, a black man, who's been church shopping. He said, brother, this place is really ministering to my heart. We've been back here 3 or 4 times now. He began to tell me a story that related to the message. He said, our pastor died recently. And he said, you might have seen our pastor on the news. He was the guy that was down in the LA riots when literally all hell was going loose. And he was the beautiful black pastor, and I mentioned it to you because of your message, who grabbed that Mexican man. And I, as those other thugs poured gasoline on him, they were going to torch him. And that brother, that pastor of ours got around that man, and he says, if you're going to kill this man, you're going to have to kill me too. And they laid down their matches and cans, and they left the scene. And by the way, that was in Newsweek magazine. You may have saw it. You know why? Because when Jesus Christ is in your heart, you are absolutely colorblind. And besides that, you can't stop ministering to people because Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. Where will the blessing come from? If we're going to reach the world, where will it come from? It's going to come from God. Where are we going to see the blessing? Right here, right where you're sitting, right now, whoever you are, in this body, in this local church. God uses the local church, and that's you. Second thing, under when the gospel goes out, you can expect blessings. The second thing is, how will the blessings come? In actual church growth, to be quite honest with you, that's what the book of Acts is all about. Not so much in depth spiritually, though it certainly includes that. But the book of Acts is the growth of the church horizontally. All throughout scripture, the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Later on in the book of Acts, we're going to come to the verse where it says, the Lord added a great multitude to the church daily. We're talking about growth here. When the word of God goes out, people are going to come because God has put it within their heart to come and hear the word. Blessing will be in growth. Watch this. In verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to do. How will the blessings come? Through God. God's calling. God is calling. Listen to this. You might be sitting here today saying, I want to be used by God. I really want to know what God wants me to do. I really do. I'm tired of sitting around being a pew potato. I want to do something. Well, check this out. Look at verse 2. It says, as they ministered to the Lord. How on earth do you minister to the Lord? He's in heaven. My first thought was by ministering to you. If I minister to you, you minister to me, we're serving the Lord. And truly that is the case. But I was really blown away to find this because I've never seen this before in scripture. In verse 2, as they minister to the Lord, some of your Bibles may have this translated correctly, has nothing to do with serving each other. The word as they ministered to the Lord is they worshiped him. Worship. The Greek word is proskuneo. It means to, it's actually a term used for a dog to lick the hand of its master, proskuneo. But when it's used for a human in relation to God, the word proskuneo means to kiss the hand. They were kissing the hand of Jesus Christ when the Lord spoke to them. Remember Mary? Martha's back there clanging the pans. Jesus, why don't you tell Mary to get in here and help me get this roast ready? Remember that in Mark's gospel? Tell her to get in here. I'm cooking. And Jesus goes, hey, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice. Martha, Martha. Sheesh, Martha. Mary's chosen that more important thing. And poor Martha, the doors swing open. She's got her apron on. She's got flour on her forehead. She's got a pot in her hand. Like what? And Mary's just sitting there listening to Jesus talk to the guys and teaching them. And he says, Martha, Mary's chosen that better thing to do. The teaching of the word. Now, I don't know how her souffle turned out after that one, but it's convicting for us all. Worship him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1. Thanks for listening. And you know, if God is for us, who can be against us or separate us from his love? The Gospel Goes to the World, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. For a lot of us, it's not only uncomfortable to talk politics, it's also difficult to know to what extent we can trust today's popular political dialogue, and most of all, to know what the appropriate Christian response should be. That's why Pastor Jack chose this particular book of the month. It's called Politics According to the Bible by Wayne Grudem. This comprehensive yet easy-to-read book offers the political philosophy of seeing the gospel as pertaining to all of life. So as Christians, this means that we really should be involved in the political issues of our day. You can purchase Politics According to the Bible by Wayne Grudem at our website when you go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Home tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Did you know, by the way, there are a few great ways that you can support this ministry, even in ways that won't cost you a dime? You can be involved in eternal impact basically for no money out of your pocket. It's easy. You can start by telling your friends about this ministry. Then you can like Pastor Jack's Facebook page, subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, or follow his Instagram. Pastor Jack really is quite active on social media, so you'll love keeping up with him and what God is doing through this ministry. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.